Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. That was the one and only Mahalia Jackson. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. By a true, true gospel artist. And not an artist in a phony way. Not an artist like they have them today, which you can add to artist, con artist. No, she was no con artist. She was a praise artist, a worship artist. With her voice, she can paint beautiful, 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 beautiful beautiful images in your mind. He was a praise, worship artist. Not like the con artist today who shake their fannies and shake their bottoms and shake it all. They shake it all in order to get you to shake your pockets. Well, that was Nearer, My God, to Thee. And that's what we want to be in these last days. We want to be nearer to the Lord because things are getting ugly. Things are getting more dangerous in the church. And that's our topic of discussion tonight because we are pushing another proposition and I'm letting the folks catch up. And we're putting these propositions out there. They're for the African-American church. And they are directed towards this organization called the Joint College of African American Bishops. Interesting to note that they brag that they have scholars in their midst. That's what they claim. They claim to have scholars, but I don't know. I don't know that they have any scholars. I don't know that they have any men who are willing to defend what they teach. I've been challenging these people now for months. We released our first book, Jackass Church Bishops. We didn't hear anything from them. In fact, this is all we heard. This is all we heard when we released the book, Jackass Church Bishops. This is all we heard from the Joint College. Listen to this. We heard crickets. We heard nothing. We heard nothing. And when we released the book, Nehushtan Church Bishops, this is what we heard from them. We heard more crickets. We heard more crickets. Now, think about it. Here's an author who releases two books on your organization, and you say nothing. The same author has a radio broadcast that now has over 75 broadcasts, all dedicated primarily to talking about your organization. Remember, there's two books that we have released, two books which are in total 400 pages. With 400 footnotes, two books, averaging 200 pages apiece, averaging 200 footnotes apiece, averaging 15 chapters apiece, and we hear nothing, nothing. And they already know that we're releasing another 10 books. The next book, Draconian Tsunami. The book Draconian Tsunami will be out the second Saturday of May. That's Saturday the 13th. I'm releasing that book, Draconian Tsunami. Another book in which I talk about the Joint College of African American Bishops. It's called Draconian Tsunami. So we've done 75 broadcasts. With today, we would have released 18 propositions, two books with 10 more to come, one soon to be released on May the 13th, and this is what we hear from the Joint College of Bishops. We hear crickets. So this whole notion about them being scholarly and them having scholars in their midst, In my opinion, that's not true. And I've read their resumes. I've gone to their official websites. I've read up what degrees they have. I purchased one book from the presiding bishop of the organization. It is completely Mickey Mouse. The book is completely Mickey Mouse. This book that I'm holding in my hands that I'll be reading from tonight, the book entitled The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, this is Mickey Mouse. I only found one scripture citation in the entire book. One scripture and a citation in the entire book. One scripture. And that's Acts 2:4. One scripture citation. Not one footnote, not one endnote, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the bibliography in the back, the bibliography, it mentions five books. Five books. No, in actuality, it mentions four books. Four books. And I don't even know if they're books. Because this little thing that I'm holding in my hands, which cost me $20, whom the chief prelate wrote, is not a book. This is a little pamphlet. A pamphlet filled with worthless information. Worthless information. There's no scholarship in this book. Absolutely none. Like I said, this is complete rubbish. Complete rubbish. This is something that I would not even approve of in a thesis writing class. I would tell the student, start all over again. Start all over and start with a new title. The title stinks. The title is unacceptable. You cannot create episcopacy. Christ already created episcopacy. You can't create something that Christ already created. No. Rubbish. Rubbish. Start all over again. Go back to the drawing board. But we hear nothing from these people. We hear nothing. We hear nothing. This is what we hear from the Joint College. This is what we hear coming out of Cleveland, Ohio. And sometimes we hear jackass braying also. That too. We hear crickets and jackass braying. But in the challenges, we've only heard crickets. Crickets. And supposedly, like I said, I mean, I've done some extensive reading on all of these guys, and on paper, they sound like giants in the faith, but when you listen to them in video, I've checked them out on YouTube, and when you listen to them in their videos, and when you read what they write, no, they're paper tigers. They're paper tigers. They're only legends on paper, but that's it. They roar on paper. They make a lot of noise on paper, but when you listen to them, and that's why I suspect that they don't want to debate. That's why I suspect that all we hear from that camp is this. I mean, if someone was to challenge me to a debate, I'll say when and where. Let's come on, let's go for it. When and where? When and where? When and where? But we haven't heard from them. Like I said, this will be our 18th proposition. We're planning on delivering 95 propositions. It's our own version of the 95 thesis, our own version. Tailored for what's going on in the African American church. Tailored to put on notice the Joint College of African American Bishops. Taylor, to put them on notice. But so far, 18 propositions, nothing. So far, 2 books, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And a third book on the way. Draconian Tsunami. And after that book comes out, there'll be another 9 remaining. And all of these books, folks, are 200 pages plus, 200 footnotes plus. When all is said and done, I'll have 3,000 pages written. 3,000 pages written on this subject. 3,000 pages written. When all 12 books are released, it'll be 3,000 pages written. And yet we don't hear from these people. Well, next year when they celebrate their 25th anniversary, because next year they're pushing, 2018 is their 25th anniversary, I plan to go to the convention and I plan to distribute the 95 thesis. I plan to do that. Let's see what happens. If the Lord does not return, if our soon coming King delays his arrival, if we go beyond 2018, I hope, I pray to be at the convention, the 25th anniversary, to make some noise at the Joint College. To make some noise, not cricket sounds, And folks, it's not a time to be silent, because if I'm in the wrong and they're in the right, Jude says that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And if these guys are in the right, if they're the so-called successors of the apostles, they should be straightening me out. They should be putting me in my place. They should be contending for the faith, but the very fact that they choose to ignore says a lot from this organization, which has, 1,000 bishops? And all of these guys are supposed to be schooled? And they're all supposed to have doctorates? And they're all supposed to be erudites and sages? I doubt it. Now listen, I'm writing these propositions. They're easy to read, easy to understand. And we're delivering them. Look, we're delivering them to you, the people. Because we want to stir a conversation. We want you to talk about these issues. We want you to ask the right questions. That's what the thesis is all about. That's why putting forth the 95 thesis is all about, to make it public, to get church folk to read it, and then to cause conversation, to get people to talk and say, yeah, what about this? What about this other proposition? This is a good point. Can you answer that for us? And obviously. They can't answer it. That's why they haven't called the broadcast. Listen, for those of you who are members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, you can call me at 646-564-9730. Again, the number here, guys and gals from the Joint College of African American Bishops, is 646-564-9730. Can you guys call in? Can somebody from the Joint College of African American Bishops, can somebody from that group answer the bell? Can somebody? I doubt it. I hope one day to be surprised. I hope one day to be pleasantly surprised when they call. But I won't hold my breath. I want to welcome, of course, all of our listeners from Norway. Boy, do we get a ton of people tuning in from Norway, and people tuning in from Great Britain, and people tuning in from Germany, and people tuning in from Canada, and people tuning in from the U.S., and Africa, South Africa, Zambia. Yeah, we have people tuning in from all over the world. And I want to greet you in the precious, precious name of the Lord. I also want to remind everyone that this coming Friday, Sister Marie will be in studio. And, you know, on Fridays, we don't talk about the Joint College. On Friday, Sister Marie comes in. She is our expert researcher. And she comes in and we talk about the different things that Satan is pushing throughout the world. Things that Satan is pushing in the church throughout the world. And we've been having a fantastic series of broadcasts on Fridays talking about the prophetess of the mystery of iniquity who goes by the name of Alice Bailey. She was born in 1880, died in 1949, and from 1880 to 1949, the devil used her in such a way so as to promote all of the heresy that we have in the church today. All of the heresy that we have in the church today, Alice Bailey promoted. A woman. A false prophetess. The prophetess of the mystery of iniquity. And so Sister Marie's going to be back next week. This coming Friday, this Friday, she'll be in studio, and we're going to be talking about Alice Bailey again, and this Friday will be the 21st, April the 21st at 7 p.m., so you don't want to miss that broadcast. Well, let's get into tonight's study, let's get into tonight's proposition. This will be proposition number 18, Proposition number 18, and it reads like this. The Joint College of African American Bishops promotes the anti-Christian governmental structure called Episcopal Orders, which is an affront to Christ Jesus, who gives the ascension conquest gifts of Ephesians 4 in perpetuity to his church. So again, let's read this. The Joint College of African American Bishops promotes the anti-Christian governmental structure called Episcopal Orders. These orders are an affront. The giving of these orders is an affront to Christ Jesus, our Lord and head of the church. Why is it in front? Because he gives the ascension conquest gifts of Ephesians 4 in perpetuity to his church. So what are these guys doing promoting their ministries when Christ is giving his church his ministries? You see, What I mean to say with this proposition is, it seems to me like the Joint College of African American Bishops has hijacked Christ's church, or a segment of Christ's church, being the African American church. And in hijacking the African American church, they have replaced the governmental structure that Christ set up in his church. And, of course, if you replace something that Christ put there in the beginning, if you substitute something that Christ put there, you take what Christ gave and you put what you want, that is an affront to him. Because he gave ascension /conquest gifts, which are found in Ephesians 4, in perpetuity to his church. In other words, Jesus gave us in the first century, and he gave some to be apostles, others prophets, others evangelists, others pastors, others teachers. Those are what we call the ascension gift. When Jesus conquered Satan, when Jesus conquered Satan on the cross and he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. These gifts are the conquest gifts. They are given to remind us that Jesus ascended and conquered Satan. And these ascension gifts, which Christ gives, he gives in perpetuity. So the fact that you go to a black church, you go to an African-American church, and there's no mention of apostles, there's no mention of prophets, there's no mention of evangelists, there's no mention of pastors, teachers. Those gifts have been substituted. And in their place, the Joint College of African-American Bishops has put something else in its place. But this is what we call an unauthorized substitution, because Christ never gave permission. He never gave permission. Never gave permission. Christ never gave permission. This is an unauthorized substitution. And that's why it's anti-Christian, because you are coming against what Christ established. And if you are coming against, and I emphasize against, what Christ established, you are anti-Christian. You're anti-Christ. The whole governmental structure established by the Joint College of African American Bishops in replacing what Christ set up is anti-Christian. It's anti-Christian. Now, let me read to you from the book, the dopey book. I can't believe that the man who wrote this book has 3 doctorates. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. How does a person who has 3 doctorates, who claims remember, folks, it's not just 3 doctorates, but you went through a bachelor's program. You went through an undergraduate program. You went through a graduate program. You went to a postgraduate program. You went to an undergraduate, a graduate, and a postgraduate program. This is a person who's supposed to have 3 doctorates. And this little book that I have here in my hands, which the man is proud of. I mean, they keep selling this book. They keep promoting this book like it's the Magna Carta. The Magna Garbage is what this is. This is rubbish. There is not one footnote in this book. Not one endnote. The grammar is horrible. It's horrible. Well, in chapter 4, there's a chapter called Episcopal Orders. It says, there are 6 orders of the prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. Really? Really? In the Church of Jesus Christ, there are 6 orders of prelature? Can you give me one Bible verse? No, he can't give me one Bible verse. You see, this statement that he made here, there are 6, and I'm reading from, this is chapter 4, page 24, in the book entitled The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. He writes, there are 6 orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ, and provides no proof text. Now, whenever you write something, and you know, when you're writing from a theological perspective, when you're writing from a biblical perspective, and you make a statement, you're supposed to provide proof text. There's not a not one scripture. Five of the orders are episcopal, and one is potentiary. Five of the orders are episcopal, and one is potentiary, which means power is given to that person. Power, authority is given to the last one. For our purposes here, we will name the orders of prelature and then offer brief explanations according to their purviews. The list is not designed to subjugate anyone in either of the said offices, but to provide a sense of first among equals that has always been the hallmark of the apostolic office. All of this is rubbish. Everything I've read thus far is rubbish. So here are the six orders. Here are the six orders, and this is the government and the church. First, you have the presiding bishop. Second, then you have the ordinary. Third, the coadjutor. Fourth, suffragan. Fifth, auxiliary. Sixth, overseer. Again, one, presiding bishop. Two, ordinary. Three, coadjutor. Four, the suffragan bishop. Five, the auxiliary. Six, the overseer. Now, he goes on to enumerate and give you blah, 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 blah. For none of this, there is a Bible verse. For none of this. You can't find presiding bishop in the Bible. You can't find the term. You can't find ordinary in the term. You can't find the coadjutor in the term. You can't find the suffragan in the Bible. You can't find the auxiliary. You can find overseer, but not the way he's described in this little pamphlet. No, you can't find overseer the way. For example, let me read to you overseer on page one. The six orders out of an overseer. This prelate serves as the right arm of the bishop in the diocese. Well, you can't find that in the Bible. You can't find that. You can't find that the overseer is a prelate that serves as the right arm of the bishop in the diocese. You can't give me a Bible verse for that. And like I said, this is all man-made. This whole thing is man-made. So what they have done is, as agents, end-time agents of the Antichrist, because that's what they must be. If you come in, listen, if 25 years ago, because next year, 2018, they're going to be celebrating their 25th anniversary as an organization. Okay, so supposedly 24, 25 years ago, they walked into the African-American church and they began to push this bishopric nonsense, right? Okay, they began. So now, in the place, because I remember my church, the black church, we had prophets. We had apostles. We had evangelists. We used to have pastors and teachers. Not anymore. Now what you have is you have presiding bishop, you have ordinary, you have coadjutor, you have suffragan bishop, auxiliary, and you have the overseer. You have those six levels, which you can't find in the Bible. So what the Joint College of African American Bishops did is they moved into the black church. They began without the authorization of Christ because they did not have authorization to substitute the apostle, to substitute the prophet, to substitute the evangelist, to substitute the pastor, and to substitute the teacher. They had no authority to take those out and put these six in. They took out the five that Christ gave and they put the six in. Now, the five that Christ gave are of divine origin. The six that they're putting in are all man-made. And they're man-made because when you read this dopey book And you read about, because they do give you a little write-up as to what is the ordinary bishop, what is the coadjutor bishop, what is his description, what is the suffragan bishop, what is the auxiliary bishop. This is all blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is minutia. Minutia. The whole book is minutia. I mean, it's nonsense. It's rubbish. I mean, and that's why you can't find a scripture text for any one of these. There's not a proof text. And if you were to ask this man, J. Delano Ellis, where he got this rubbish from, he would tell you, from the Code of Canon Law. Well, what is the Code of Canon Law? It's a mixture. It's a mixture of the commandments and the traditions of men mixed together with doctrines of demons. That's what it is. It's not what I said it is. It's what it is. So the Joint College of African American Bishops, being agents, double agents of the wicked one, they moved into the church and they removed Jesus' structure and they introduced their structure. And Jesus gave his gifts as a reminder that he defeated Satan. He defeated Satan, and in defeating Satan, in perpetuity, he gives to his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's letting each generation know that Jesus conquered Satan. That this is not a thing of the past, but it's a thing of the present. That even today he's conquering Satan by the apostle, by the prophet, by the evangelist, by the pastor, by the teacher. This is why the black church today is not conquering, it's in defeat. Why? Because Satan's agents have planted a false structure, an anti-Christian structure, and had no authorization from Christ to do any kind of substitutions. Because Jesus never said, okay, you can substitute the apostle and insert the presiding bishop. Jesus never said, well, put in the ordinary in the place of the prophet. Put in the coadjutor in the place of the evangelist. Put the suffragan bishop in the place of the pastor and put the auxiliary bishop in the place of the teacher. Jesus never said anything like that. So what these men have done, they've restructured the church, the black church, the African American church. They've restructured it with Satan's structure, because Satan hates to be reminded that Jesus defeated him on the cross and that Christ ascended up on high and led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. These are the ascension gifts. These are what we call the conquest gifts. In charismatic and Pentecostal circles, they call them the fivefold ministry gifts, but that's not, the Bible does not refer to them as the fivefold ministry gifts. They are the ascension conquest gifts. Because Christ did not stay in the grave, Christ ascended. And God has given them a name above every name, that every demon in hell and Satan himself will bow at the name of Jesus. And Satan's been conquered. And he will continue to be conquered through the church. Because we are an extension of Christ. Christ is the head, we're the body. So, you see, these members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, is it any wonder that they have the colors of the apostate Church of Rome? They wear the scarlet and the purple. They're letting you know what team they're on. And they claim to be on Christ's team, but they're not on Christ's team because they are doing unauthorized substitutions. You don't let anyone replace what Christ has given. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4 and it's going to get interesting. Ephesians 4. And let's read. And we'll read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll stop, and then we'll get ready for verse number 7 and following, because in verse 7 through 18, it gets real good. So let's read as an introduction, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Then we'll pause. We'll take a deep breath and start up again in verse 7 all the way to verse number 18. And here we go.
Chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
And there you go. What's the emphasis here? Unity. Unity. Now, not ecumenical unity, not the unity of all the religions in the world coming under the umbrella of ecumenism. No, that's not the unity being spoken of here. It's the unity of the Spirit. Unity under God the Father. That's the unity being spoken. It says here, it says in verse 4, for there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one faith, for which we must contend. There's only one Lord. There's not 15 Lords. There's not 15 religions coming together in some ecumenical cathedral where everybody can call on their own God. No. There is one Lord. There is one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. No, it's not ecumenism. No, it's not all the religions of the world coming under one tent. No. There can be no tolerance. There can be no kumbaya moments. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's what our Lord said. One faith, not 15, not 20. We're not going to sit down with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Roman Catholics and the Adventists, and we're not going to have a kumbaya moment. No, we're not. We're not going to get together with the Word of Faith people who believe that they're little gods. Absolutely not. We're not going to get together with the Word of Faith people who confess that they have power to create and power to kill. Oh, absolutely not. That's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hang out with those people who decree and declare nonsense. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and one God. So this is about unity, but unity under the one true God, in the one true church, with the one true Lord, with the one true faith, baptism, and salvation, which is applied to us and made real by the Holy Spirit. Now, starting in the next verse, Paul starts to talk about gifts that Christ gave as a result of his defeat of Satan and his ascension to heaven. So let's begin reading at verse number 7, and we'll stop at verse 11.
But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers.
There you go. It was him, Christ. It was him who gave what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. No one has been authorized to substitute what Christ gave. No one has been authorized to remove the apostle, to remove the prophet, to remove the evangelist, to remove the pastor teacher, and insert the presiding bishop, the ordinary bishop, the coadjutor bishop, the suffragan bishop, the auxiliary bishop, and the overseer. No one. But that's the governmental structure that you now have. That is the governmental structure. But Jesus didn't give any of this. You can't find it. See, I can give you my proof text for what I'm defending, but J. Delano Ellis can't give you a proof text for what he's defending. And we don't want to hear about canon law. Canon law is not the canon of Scripture. We Protestants believe in sola scriptura. We can care less about the code of canon law, whether it be Anglican canon law or Roman Catholic canon law or African American canon law. We can care less. We only want the scriptures. If they're not God-inspired, we don't want them. It's by scripture alone. Are you hearing me out there? Are you hearing me, Joint College of African American Crickets? Are you hearing me? That's a good one. The Joint College of African American Crickets. Why can't one of these guys call the broadcast? Why can't one of these guys call? In fact, we have someone who just called now. Let me take this call. Good evening. How are you doing? God bless you. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Pastor.
Okay, okay. Did you want to make a comment?
In.
Okay,
I'm
make your comment,
in.
Dear. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the show, and I'm learning so much, and thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome. Let me take this other call because it might be somebody else from the Joint College. Let's see.
All righty.
Okay, thank you, and stay tuned in. I got a whole lot more to say.
Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Hello.
How are you doing?
All righty. Do you have a comment to make?
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to call and ask because just trying to collect and get some answers because I myself am not in the church, but I am an African here in the Americas. And a lot of the issues – you know, even though I'm not in the church, I guess the Charleston Nine, when those people, nine brothers and sisters got killed in that church, that didn't only affect church members, that hurt me as well. And I'm looking at this situation that we're dealing with the brother that just got the elderly man that got killed up in Cleveland, and also the guy that's on the loose. My question would be, and it seemed like that elderly man, he was actually coming from an Easter event. My question is, why does it seem like we as a people, you know, those black people here in America, we have gone to church, we have been good, because that's what my grandmother brought me up in the church. She taught me to do the right things, treat people respectfully, think and act positively. And a lot of times those are those people from the church. And my question is, why is it that us as the black people here in America are the ones where our children have to witness things like the Trayvon Martin, where our children have to hear, or we have to witness, us as black people have to hear about nine black people getting killed in the church. We've never heard that, you know, with nine white people getting killed. And it is the white people that actually carry the blasphemous image of Jesus, because from what I understand, it is in the description in the Bible of Jesus, he had a head of wool and he had a skin of a burnt bronze, a burnt brass. And my question is, if those people are the ones that are being blasphemous with creating an image that then doesn't even go with the description, why aren't they the ones that are, you know, seeing their elderly people, where their children are having to see in their elderly people getting killed? You know, even after we know all the, I think they said it's like 800 and something hate groups here in America, and, you know, a lot of those are white hate groups. You know, the white man has hung us and brutalized us as Africans, as Africans in America for so long. Why is it that it seems like, you know, the creator is still, or it seems like we are still getting kicked in our butts, and, you know, the white people, you know, we don't really hear about this with them?
Well, I can tell you that the Bible says that there'll be that nation shall rise up against nation, right? And in the Greek, it talks about nation rising up against nation is one ethnic group rising against another ethnic group. And that's just part of prophecy. It's just part of prophecy being played out. And in addition to that, if you are a believer, if you're a child of God, according to Romans chapter 8, all day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So in the early church, everyone who identified with Christ was targeted for persecution. You could have been burnt at the stake. You could have been thrown to the lions. You could have been crucified. It made no difference the color of your skin, because the devil just wants to wipe out Christians. So we're not going to deny that there's some race issues. We're not going to deny that. But if you're a Christian, just get ready for persecution. That's all I can say. Thank you for your call, my brother. Yes, go ahead.
Like I said, that's what I was just wanting to ask, you know, because it seems like, you know, the forces that work with the white people or work against the white people are the same. You know, we're talking about creator. We're talking about God, you know, so that makes me think, like, sometimes does God ever start to restore, you know, the things, you know, for us, those people that have been hurting so long? So that was just my question, brother. That's all.
Well, it'll be restored when the Prince of Peace shows up, because there's no politician, there's no political party, there's not an organization. The United Nations has been trying to bring peace to the earth since its inception, and the United Nations has failed, and they're all going to fail until Jesus shows up. That's the bottom line. Well, let's get back to our broadcast. And let's talk about what we've been talking about, which is the main issue here. You see, my brothers and sisters, the Joint College of African American Bishops tells you that they're operating on behalf of Jesus, but they ain't operating on behalf of Jesus. Because anyone who's operating on behalf of Jesus will do exactly what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. See, we have to continue in his words. We can't make up our own words. We can't make up our own rules. We can't, No. We have to continue in his words. And the Bible says, and he gave to the church apostles. Well, who removed the apostles? The Joint College of African American Bishops did. Who removed the prophets that Jesus gave and the evangelists? Can you find an evangelist in a black church? No, and we had tons of them. They're gone now. The pastor, gone. The teacher, gone. Now what you have is you have presiding bishop, you have bishop, suffragan bishop, auxiliary bishop, coadjutor, ordinary bishop. I mean, you got all, and then you have to walk around with a booklet telling you what each one of these crazy positions means and what it stands for. Because you can't find it in the Bible. You can't find any of this in the New Testament. This is all gibberish. This is all nonsense. It was Christ who gave. Now, we just read where he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He took Satan in chains. And as a result of conquering Satan, he gave gifts to the church. What are those gifts? Well, they're what we call office gifts. Office gifts, the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, the office of the evangelist, the office of the pastor, the office of the teacher. I can find that in the Bible. I can find it over and over again in the Bible, but I cannot find presiding bishop. I can't find that. I can't find primate. I can't find general overseer. I can't find suffragan bishop. Can't find it. I can't find bishop-elect. You know how they walk around for 1 year calling themselves bishop-elect? I can't find that in the Bible. This is all man-made doctrines. This is all what we call, or what is called, the code of canon law. It's a bunch of rules and regulations that men came up and wrote while they were under the inspiration of demons. And that's what they've introduced into the African-American church, and they took out what Jesus established, and they substituted it with the garbage that they're now trying to give us. That's where we're at. And it's called an unauthorized substitution. Remember that the church is God's house. It's not your house. It's not the bishop's house. It's called God's house. And no one is allowed to substitute anything in God's. That's why we're in trouble. Why are we in trouble? Because they've taken out prayer. They've taken out prayer. They've taken out the study of God's word. You see, and who told them to substitute prayer? And who told them to substitute God's word? But they've done it. And that's why the church is in the condition that it's in. And not only did they substitute prayer, not only did they substitute the teaching of God's word, but also they substituted all of these different offices in the church. Now, Paul says in verse 12 that all of these gifts, these five gifts, were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now Ephesians 4:12 says, for verse 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, which is what we do in this broadcast, but speaking the truth in love, verse 15, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of the church, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So let me play that for you. Let me play for you from verse 12 to verse 17 in the NIV. Listen to it in the NIV, because I just read it from the King James.
To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
You see? We're supposed to be growing, but the church is not growing. Supposed to be going forward, but we're not going forward. We're going backwards. We're supposed to be gaining knowledge of Jesus. And what's being done is we're gaining less and less knowledge of Jesus, and our minds are being full with mush, like the mush I'm reading from this book. This book, I mean, after you read the bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal church, after reading this book, I mean, this book is mush. It turns your brain into mush. Now, when you read the Bible doesn't turn your brain into mush. Your Bible causes you to grow in knowledge, and it causes you to grow spiritually, and it causes you to grow in service. These five gifts are supposed to cause us to grow in Christ. The last thing we're doing in any of our churches is growing in Christ, because they never mention Christ. It's never about Christ anymore. It's about the presiding bishop, the presiding bishop, the presiding bishop. The presiding bishop is the God now. He has replaced Christ. He has substituted Christ. I don't care what they say. It's a fact. People know less about Jesus today than they did when we were children 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you could say black folk didn't have much education. 50 years ago, they were kept from going to school, but they were more spiritual and they were more knowledgeable concerning the Word of God. Today, with all of these doctorate degrees, with all of these supposed doctorate degrees that black preachers have, they're dumber than ever, and they've been dumbing down the church with their code of canon law. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 is very interesting. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 reads like this. Paul speaking, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind." Now you look at these bishops, and they walk around, they prance around in their episcopal robes, in the vanity of their own minds. They're vain people. They're just vain individuals. That's who they are. They walk about in the vanity, in the emptiness, in the shallowness of their own mind. Then Paul goes on to say in verse number 18, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their own hearts." There's no life in the black church. Have you ever seen one of those consecration services? When they're consecrating one of those bishops, those services are dead. There's no life. There's no spirit in any of those services. It's boring. It's a lifeless service. It's dead. Because the traditions of men will kill anything. There's no life. They've been cut off from the life source. Who is the life source? Jesus is the life source. They've been cut off. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. You can't live without me," Jesus said. "You have to stay connected to me," Jesus said, "if you want to live." Well, these guys are already disconnected. That's why the church is dying. The church is dying on the vine. Why? Because they've been disconnected from Jesus. And they have substituted the fivefold ministry, the ascension / conquest gifts. Remember. Christ gave those to the church in perpetuity, which means that every generation would get a batch of apostles, a batch of prophets, a batch of evangelists, a batch of pastors and teachers. Every generation would in perpetuity. as a reminder that Christ defeated Satan and his church is so empowered that Satan's kingdom will never prevail against the church. So how does Satan defeat the church? How does Satan get over on the church? How does Satan cause the church to fall apart? Well, he substitutes what Christ gave. And he puts in his garbage. He puts in his agents. And that's why you see them. If you read Revelation 17, folks, verse 4, and you look at these ordination services, what colors are these guys wearing? Purple and scarlet. It is not a coincidence that they're doing that. Folks, we are in the end times. We're in the end times. Pretty soon the football season will start, and the Chicago Bears will wear their colors, and the Green Bay Packers will wear their colors, and the New York Jets will wear their colors. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will wear their... Each team has their colors. Well, these guys, these apostates, have their colors. It's purple and scarlet. Read Revelation 17, verse 4. Those are the colors. That's their colors. And that's why they wear them now. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, the question is, this is Proposition 18. The Joint College of African American Bishops promotes the anti-Christian governmental structure called Episcopal Orders. That's why I read to you from this guy's book on page 24, chapter 4, it's entitled Episcopal Orders. He starts out by saying there are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ, but he can't give me a Bible verse because there is no Bible verse. There'll never be a Bible verse for this. You can't give me a Bible verse for what he just said. He just said there are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. They are? Can you show me a Bible verse? No, he can't. You see, the Joint College of African American Bishops promotes the anti-Christian governmental structure called Episcopal Orders. This is satanic. This is satanic. You can't even find this in the Bible. You can't find any of this in the Bible, which is an affront to Jesus Christ, who gives the ascension conquest gifts of Ephesians 4 in perpetuity to it. I mean, we made our case. I can show you in the Bible that there are five offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It wasn't too long ago that our churches had these people. Those were the titles that they went by. That was their function. Everybody knew who they were, and they had Holy Ghost power. Today, we don't have that anymore. Apostles have gone the way of the dinosaur. Prophets, true prophets of God, which are preachers, they've gone the way of the dinosaur. We're not talking about the prophets for hire. We're not talking about the prophets of Balaam, the sorcerers, the soothsayers. No, those are satanic. The Brian Kahns, the Manasseh Jordans, the Juanita Bynums, those are all satanic people. They're satanic agents. Those aren't the prophets that's mentioned in Ephesians 4. Those are pseudo-prophets. Those are false prophets. Those are counterfeit prophets. Those are prophets for hire. Those are soothsayers and necromancers. I'm not talking about those kinds of prophets. We're talking about genuine prophets. And all of that's been removed. The prophet's been removed, the apostle, the evangelist. My church used to have a lot of evangelists. A lot. I go to the church now. Are there any? No, there's no evangelist. We don't have evangelists anymore. You don't have soul winners anymore. No. We have armor bearers. We have armor bearers. All of that is satanic. You can't find armor bearers in the New Testament. Paul didn't have an armor bearer. Peter didn't have an armor bearer. None of the apostles had armor bearers. None. 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 All of this is nonsense. And these people have come in as agents of Satan, and they have removed the structure, the government that Jesus put in place, and they, without authorization, they have substituted, and they put on their own form of government, with the presiding bishop being the number one satanic agent. Now, here's a video that I thought I would play for you. Here's a video, very important video. And in this video, the man who wrote this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Church, he puts out a video, and the video is entitled Returning to the Basics, Returning to the Basics. And here he's encouraging people to return to the basics because things have gotten messed up. Listen to this. This is a 2-minute, 35-second video, and listen to this nonsense. Listen to this.
Greetings. I'm J. Delano Ellis II, Metropolitan for the Joint College African American Pentecostal
Mission. See, he's a metropolitan. Can you find that in the Bible? Can you find the term metropolitan? No, you can't find that in the Bible. You find that in the code of canon law. Again, what is the code of canon law? It is the doctrines and the traditions of men, and all you have to do is pull out your concordance, and look for the word doctrines of men, traditions of men, and you will see that every time Jesus spoke of the commandments and the doctrines of men, Jesus was infuriated with those who followed the traditions and the doctrines of men. Jesus was highly upset with those who pushed the doctrines and the commandments of men. This guy is a metropolitan. Have you ever heard? I've heard of apostle. I've heard of prophet. I've heard of evangelist. I've heard of pastor. I've heard of teacher. I never heard of a metropolitan. He got that from the Roman Catholic Church, from their code of canon law. And now he's adopted it. He's their agent now. He's their agent. And notice how he embraces the title. That speaks volumes. Here it is again.
Greetings. I'm J. Delano Ellis II, Metropolitan for the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Mission. And it's about that time again for the annual Congress at Cleveland, Ohio, in the month of March. I thought I'd come on the air just to tell you that there are some new and interesting topics that will be presented during this college, one of which is returning to the basics.
Now, one of the topics that year is returning to the basics. Well, why don't you drop the title Metropolitan and why don't you go back to the basics according to Ephesians chapter 4? See, what he's doing is what we call double talk. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. On the one hand, he wants to tell you we're going to go back. He's the first one who won't go back to basics because he won't give up the dopey title that you can't find in the Bible. If he went back to basics, he would say, you know what, all of this stuff about presiding bishop and suffragan bishop and bishop-elect, this is all man-made. Let's go back to basics. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Let's go back to what Jesus set up, and let's get rid of all this foolish stuff that we recently adopted. That would really be going back to basics.
I I thought I'd come on the air just to tell you that there are some new and interesting topics that will be presented during this college, one of which is returning to the basics. I want us to come up with some grace-filled applications that will provide a way for us to get back to those things that were simple about our salvation.
I agree. Then get rid of this dopey book. Get rid of this book that you wrote called The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy and the African American Church, because this book is just a ball of confusion. That's what this is. This is just gibberish. This is just rubbish. This is just minutia. That's what this book is. It's just minutia. Yeah, I think it's right. I think you should go back to basics. Go back to the Bible. If you mean go back to basics, means go back to the Bible. It's, you see, you can't go back to the basics and keep your mess. You can't keep your mess and then wanna go back to basics. No, to go back to basics means you gotta get rid of the junk you have now in its entirety. If not, then you're just talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Applications that will provide a way for us to get back to those things that were simple about our salvation.
My dear brothers and sisters, don't you agree that this whole thing here, look, there are six orders of prelature in the Church of Jesus Christ. Five of the orders are episcopal and one is potentiary. For our purpose, we will name the orders of prelature and then offer a brief explanation according to their purviews. Now, you wouldn't need to be reading this. This book wouldn't need to be written if you just kept people in the basics. But since you are Babylonian in assignment, then yes, you have to confuse the people. You have to confuse them by taking what Jesus left, which was simple, and introducing all of this gibberish, which is just, we just confuse people.
The African American church has gone through 20 years of change, and more change. We tested everything. In the Kentucky mountains, they tested the snakes. Down in the cities, we tested inclusionism, prosperity. Reach up and grab it and nab it and snatch it and catch it. And you name it. It seems to me that somebody needs to stop and say this whole salvific business is simple. Hey, listen, I found the scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:29 where Solomon says, God made us plain and simple, but we've made ourselves very complicated.
Yes, you have. You messed up the church. You and the three other guys who started this mess, you messed up the church. You introduced all of this Roman Catholicism into the black church. He is one of four men who introduced this heresy into the African American church. Yes, God made us simple. It was simple to follow Jesus. These guys have complicated it. Now you got to know what stockings to wear on such a day, what shoes to wear, what buckles, what underwear. I kid you not, what underwear to wear. It's all in this book. It's all in this book. When to wear your cassock, when to wear your skull cap, when to take your skull cap off. Who gets to wear the purple shirt? Who gets to wear the scarlet shirt? You see, we complicated things. Who cares about dress? Who cares about stockings? Who cares about manicures? It's all in this book. All of that gibberish, all of that minutia is in this book. All of that nonsense. Everything you need to know about vestments and when to wear your pectoral cross and what finger your Episcopal ring needs to be on. And how do you and when you carry your crozier? Who cares? Who cares? But you see, that's what he and his other three colleagues introduced. And that's why the black church is in this mess. It's caught up in this Roman Catholic wave. It's a wave of confusion. You look at the Roman Catholic, I challenge you to go to any Roman Catholic church and they're empty. The priest is conducting a mass by himself. Nobody's there. It's dead. And that's what these guys are introducing to the church, to the black church. Death. They're introducing death to the black church. Because they have done unauthorized substitutions. Unauthorized substitutions.
And say this whole salvific business is simple. Hey, listen, I found the scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:29 where Solomon says, God made us plain and simple, but we've made ourselves very complicated. That's the Good News translation. But boy, that grabbed me. We have almost messed ourselves up.
Not almost, you have. It's not that you almost messed yourself up. You have messed up the church. You have messed up the church. There are no evangelists. There's no soul winners. There's no prophets. There's no people telling people like it is. There's no prophets anymore. You have profiteers. You have fleecers in the pulpit. You have scam artists in the pulpit. You don't have prophets. When I was a kid and I went to my neighborhood black church, we had prophets, and boy, you walked by the straight and narrow because they would say, thus saith the Lord, and they would just tell you like it is. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. You have prophets giving you license plate numbers and lottery numbers and your zodiac.
Be in the class that deals with simplicity, holiness.
I guess he missed the class. I guess he forgot to, I guess he didn't take his own advice. I guess he didn't take his own advice. You know, when you read this little book, which is 95, what is it, 95 pages? I mean, all it is, and the reason why the man has no Bible verses in this book is because all of this is just rules of how to dress, what stockings to put on, what shoes to put on, what are the colors of the shoes, what length should your chain be, when should you wear your pectoral cross, when should you wear your civic attire? When should you wear your festive attire? I didn't even know you had to have civic attire, festive. Jesus never mentioned any of that. Jesus never talked. The Apostle Paul, Peter, never mentioned any of this. Paul in the pastoral letters makes no reference to vestments and attire and cross and crozier and pastoral staff and skullcap. There's none of that. None of that. And this guy's telling you we need to return to the simplicity. But he's messed everything up. Everything is complicated. Now when you get dressed to attend one of their services, you got to refer to the manual to know, because you don't want to get yelled at. You don't want to have purple stockings and black shoes when you're supposed to be wearing purple stocking and green shoes. I mean, and again, they are majoring on the minors. They are majoring on stupid things and not the things that count with God. These people are under strong delusion. They have turned their backs on God. This guy's talking about returning to the simple things. And well, we almost messed things. No, you didn't almost. You did. You messed everything up. Look at the black church. The black church is under the purple plague. There isn't a black church where the pastor now wants to become a bishop. He's got bishop fever. What bishop? You know what bishop fever is? The purple plague. He wants that purple shirt. Then those who are bishops now they got scarlet fever. They want the scarlet colored shirt. They want to move up to be archbishops. It's insane. And while these guys are pursuing the purple shirt and the other one's pursuing the scarlet shirt, God's people get neglected. Our church members are neglected. Our sheep are not getting fed. And they're being fleeced. And they're being taken to the cleaners. So that these guys can live in the lap of luxury. You didn't almost make a mess. You made a mess. Here it is again.
Greetings. I'm J. Delano Ellis II, Metropolitan for the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. And it's about that time again for the annual Congress at Cleveland, Ohio, in the month of March. I thought I'd come on the air just to tell you that there are some new and interesting topics that will be presented during this college. One of which is returning to the basics. I want us to come up with some grace-filled applications that will provide a way for us to get back to those things that were simple about our salvation. The African American church has gone through 20 years of change, and more change. We tested everything. In the Kentucky mountains, they tested the snakes. Down in the cities, we tested inclusionism, prosperity, reach up and grab it and nab it and snatch it and catch it, and you name it. It seems to me that somebody needs to stop and say this whole salvific business is simple. Hey, listen, I found the scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:29 where Solomon says, God made us plain and simple, but we've made ourselves very complicated. That's the Good News translation. But boy, that grabbed me. We have almost messed ourselves up. Be in the class that deals with simplicity. Holiness is simply beautiful.
Well, he didn't apply his own advice because he didn't attend the class because he doesn't understand what simplicity is. It's just going back to Jesus. Simplicity is getting all of your purple shirts, getting all of your scarlet outfits, getting your stockings, your Episcopal stockings, getting all your stuff and just having a bonfire and burning it. And just going back to preaching and teaching the Word of God and just being a simple pastor with a simple title, shepherd, and just doing what Christ called you to do and yet just give up all of this foolishness of going walking around like a peacock, calling yourself presiding bishop. Just give all of that foolishness up and just roll up your sleeves and just get to work. But no, he didn't take the class because he didn't take his own advice because he's a hearer of the word and not a doer. And if you're in one of those crazy churches, if you're in one of those crazy churches where they took out the apostle and they took out the prophet and they took out the evangelist and they took out the pastor and the teacher, if you're in one of those crazy churches where they have, without any authorization from Christ, where they have plugged in satanic ministers from Rome with Romish titles, flee, run, escape for your life. Again, Proposition 18. The Joint College of African American Bishops promotes, and they promote it because it's in their manual, it's in their guide. What's their guide? What is the main book that they use to indoctrinate people in order to promote this anti-Christian governmental structure? It's the book called The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. So the Joint College of African American Bishops promotes the anti-Christian governmental structure called episcopal orders, in which it is an affront to Christ, who gives the ascension conquest gifts of Ephesians 4 in perpetuity to his church. There's a battle raging. There's a battle between Christ and these phony bishops. There's a battle raging between the government of Christ, the government of the true church, and this hijacked church, which is promoting these bogus offices. Because you can't find suffragan bishop in the Bible, you can't find presiding bishop, you can't find metropolitan. All of that is man-made. All of that is gibberish, minutia, garbage. And so I believe, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have made our case today. And I pray that you would tune in tomorrow as I will present Proposition 19, and that you would tune in the following day, Wednesday, as I present to you Proposition 20. God bless you. I love you in the Lord Jesus. Tune in tomorrow. God bless.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his evil. Striving would be losing. Would not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fills should threaten to undo, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abided. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they make here, God's truth abides.